Pope John Paul II's strident anti-communism marked the earliest years of his reign. His visit to his homeland of Poland in 1979, within a year of becoming pope, is considered one of the key events that set the way for the collapse of communism in Poland and other East European states. NPR's Sylvia Poggioli reports.
A group of German pilgrims is visiting the Church of the Ark in Nowa Huta, a suburb of Krakow that was created in the 1950s as a gift from Stalin to his socialist brothers in Poland.
Und oben Steine ist sind Fenster.
A priest acting as a guide is describing the symbolism of the church's architecture. The ultra-modern church, he says, is like a ship at sea, but it's anchored to the rock, so it can't float away. This church, he adds, is the symbol of our faith under communism. When Nowa Huta was built in the 50s, around a large steel mill, no churches were envisioned in this workers' paradise. But communism failed in excising Catholicism from the Polish national identity. And as soon as he was named auxiliary bishop in 1958, Karol Wojtyła began fighting for a church in Nowa Huta. In 1977, as Archbishop of Krakow, Wojtyła finally succeeded in consecrating the new church after long years of struggle with the communist regime. The tenacity with which the future pope fought for the Church of the Ark was typical of Wojtyła's attitude toward the Polish communist regime. During the papacy of Paul VI, Archbishop Wojtyła opposed the Vatican's Ostpolitik, the policy of making deals directly with communist governments, bypassing the local religious authorities. He believed this weakened the Catholic Church instead of strengthening it. Church historian Alberto Meloni says that Karol Wojtyła had first-hand experience of totalitarianism.
He formed his idea on communism and Marxism not in the vacuum of books, but in the concrete political practice, and a political practice in which even past relation between Poland and Russia played a great role in terms of humiliation inflicted to his country.
Today, it's widely agreed that the collapse of the Marxist domination of Eastern Europe can be, in great part, traced directly to John Paul II's first trip home as Pope in 1979. Speaking to a cheering crowd in Gniezno, the Pope denounced the division of Europe agreed to at Yalta at the end of World War II, and he said his election as Pope was a sign of divine providence.
Is it not Christ's will that this Polish Pope, this Slav Pope, should manifest at this precise moment the spiritual unity of Europe?
That 9-day visit brought millions of Poles together and helped break the barrier of fear erected by the communist regime. Just over a year later, a wave of strikes at the Gdansk shipyards led to the creation of the first independent trade union in the Soviet sphere, known as Solidarity. Over the next decade, from Rome, John Paul encouraged, advised, and protected the Solidarity movement, especially during the dark period of martial law imposed by the communist authorities. In 1989, just as the wall fell in Berlin and as the Velvet Revolution was toppling communism in Czechoslovakia, Mikhail Gorbachev became the first Soviet leader to visit the Vatican. American ambassador to the Holy See, Jim Nicholson, says that John Paul played a crucial role in endorsing Gorbachev, the reformer.
When the American government asked Pope John Paul II, should we believe Gorbachev, should we trust him in these steps that he's taking to loosen the reins in the Warsaw Pact and on the Russian people? Should we believe him? The Pope said yes.
John Paul never hid his hopes that post-communist Eastern Europe would act as a catalyst for the spiritual renewal of Western Europe. He proclaimed Lux ex Oriente, the light will come from the East. But Mario Mazzariti, spokesman for the Sant'Egidio lay community, says the Pope underestimated the seductive powers of Western consumer societies.
The real winner has been the market. And I have the impression that secularization and materialism has been the real challenge to John Paul II, much, much more than communism itself.
Only 4 years later, after the peaceful revolutions of 1989, the Pope was no longer triumphant. Visiting the newly independent Baltic states in 1993, John Paul startled a group of intellectuals in the Latvian capital Riga when he said, "The exploitation produced by inhuman capitalism was a real evil, and that's the kernel of truth in Marxism." A few months later, in a rare interview with the Polish-Italian journalist Jasz Gawronski, John Paul went even further. He said, "These seeds of truth in Marxism shouldn't be destroyed, shouldn't be blown away by the wind. The supporters of capitalism in its extreme forms tend to overlook the good things achieved by communism." Gawronski says the Pope gave these examples.
The help to the poor, the fact that everybody had a job, and that the system cared about people. I was a bit surprised by all of that. Maybe he was in a moment in which he was rethinking, revisiting, reorganizing his thought about this problem.
In 1998, John Paul made another of his historic visits to communist Cuba, where he denounced the lack of religious freedom. But he was equally scathing when he warned that blind capitalism can crush the human spirit.
Por otro lado, resurge en varios lugares.
Pointing to the spread of capitalist neoliberalism, which he said subordinates the person to blind market forces, John Paul lamented how the wealthy grow even wealthier while the poor grow even poorer. And he described the U.S.-imposed embargo on Cuba a monstrous crime. Throughout his papacy, religion and politics were often closely linked, but John Paul was not consistent in his attitude about political changes in his native country and elsewhere in the world. Early in his reign, he cracked down against Latin American priests who had embraced leftist-inspired liberation theology to combat social injustice. John Allen, the Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter, says the Pope always encouraged what he called cultural and moral resistance to political oppression rather than radical political activism.
So where in Latin America he saw priests that were signing up for political movements and in some cases involving themselves with armed movements, he shut that down. Whereas in the case of the Polish situation, he saw solidarity largely as an expression of this cultural ideal. Now, you know, whether or not in the end that's a persuasive distinction is, I think, you know, for history to decide.
Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.